We're going to begin reading in the first verse in Joshua chapter 24 and in verse number 1. We'll read down through verse number 16. And if you are able and willing, I would invite you to stand with us and we'll reverence the reading of the word of the Lord this morning. From Joshua chapter 24 and beginning in verse 1 and reading down through the 16th verse in your hearing, pray for us that the Lord would help us and use us. We'll say everything the Lord wants us to and nothing He would not be pleased with. And I won't preach long this morning, only until I'm through. And we only have 5 points to this little message. And so a few things about those few things this morning. Let's look in the word of the Lord. Joshua chapter 24, verse number 1. The word of the Lord says, "And Joshua gathered it together, or gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time." I hope not to come back to that phrase. On the other side of the flood does not speak before Noah, but it speaks on the other side of the river Euphrates, on the other side of that water in old times. Even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, that is on the other side of Euphrates, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it, but Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. And I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward, I brought you out. I don't know if you're noticing all these eyes, and I did this, and I did this. The Lord's speaking. He's telling them over and over again, I took your fathers, and I gave unto Esau, and I sent Moses, and I did among them, and I brought you out. Verse 6, and I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and he came unto the sea, and the Egyptian pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the Red Sea, or brought the sea upon them, and covered them, and your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And you dwell in the wilderness a long season, and I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that you may possess their land, and I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, rose and warred against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore, he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came into Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you. The Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out before you, even the two kings of the Amorites. And the Bible, of course, in the book of Deuteronomy said he delivered them on hornet's wings, but not with the sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, and the vineyards and the olive yards which ye planted not do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, on the other side of the river Euphrates, and in Egypt those calves, and serve the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether you will serve the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the Amorites, the God of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. You can be seated this morning. Thank you for standing with us while we read the word of the Lord. A little more lengthy message, or a little more lengthy reading this morning than normally we read, and what is our usual custom, but I felt it was the perfect will of the Lord to read all of those verses today. I'm preaching this morning, if the Lord will help me, on the subject, the message of Joshua. The message of Joshua. Joshua called the people together for what would really be his last sermon to them. He's a man who was born in Egypt. He knew the cruelty of slavery. He was one of only three men, Joshua, Caleb, and Moses, who had absolute faith in God to bring Israel out of Egypt into Canaan. And he spent most of his life in the wilderness. He saw the parted Jordan River and walked across on dry land, conquered Canaan. All of those kings of the Ammonites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites that he talked about in our portions of Scripture. He saw them get victory over the Moabites and over false religion with Balaam and Balak in those days. And he stood as a victor and a leader, as an old man, before a people who had been blessed by God, but had been largely disobedient unto the word of the Lord, in spite of all the commandments and commitments that their fathers had received and made. This morning I claim no connection of my life to Joshua. I am not Joshua, but I feel like him on this day. I look back and see all that the Lord has done for us. These things that I mentioned in the opening part of the service, these blessed things that God has given us over these 24 years in this anniversary service, I look back and realize that another Christmas has come, one of the most complicated and confusing years of any of our lives, and that things, it seems, in the whole world are upside down. And right is wrong, and wrong is right, and good is cursed, and my friend, evil is blessed in the day in which we live. And yet we are here on another Christmas with the same God that has always been, and another year to worship Jesus, and Jesus hasn't changed. And with all the turmoil in leadership, and turmoil in election, and the turmoil in the highest offices in our land, yet God sits high on his throne, and he does not need a vote, and he's not dependent on a voting system, and he does not, he's not calling for a quorum, and he doesn't care about what the Electoral College has to say about it. God is God, and Jesus is King, and there's not a thing every devil in hell can do about that this morning. I look back on the journey of faith from my life, and the history of our church, and the ups and downs, and this experience of our path, and I feel like I've had always more failures than successes, but I always see that God has been faithful every single step of the way. And I hope to see many more years to come to serve the Lord remaining. But today I feel like Joshua, in that I'm looking at things retrospectively. I'm looking back at what God has done and where he has brought us from, and what the Lord has done for us in the past, where he has brought us to. And today I'm asking you to consider what he's done, to consider who you will serve, to consider what the days ahead, no matter what it holds for us, who holds those days. Consider the fact that the God who has always been will always be, and today you need to commit to serve the Lord from henceforth and forevermore. Amen. Oh, Joshua's message in this portion of Scripture, Joshua gives us a reminder in verses 1 through 13. A reminder of what has taken place. A refresher course, someone may say this morning, that we spend more time on church history than maybe what you would prefer. But Joshua spends the first 13 verses of this chapter talking about what the Lord has done in the past. And that sometimes it'll do us well to have a reminder of the things that the Lord has done for us. And by the way, we didn't take near as much time as what it could take. If there were a book written that would contain the whole of it, it'd take the whole world to fill a book up. Y'all don't know of all the things the Lord has done, the experiences that we have had with God. And I thank the Lord for it. On Friday, we went to the funeral service for Brother Wayne Henderson. One of the things I loved about him, Brother TJ, was just go to the prayer room, Faith Baptist Camp, and here before we'd pray, as his folks would gather in, just sit and listen to Brother Wayne tell stories of things that had happened and experiences he'd had with God and experiences he'd had with God's people, and tell about what the Lord had done in days past, one of my favorite things in the world. And the reason why he could tell those things is because he had experience with those things. The reason why he could tell stories is because he had some stories. And he had lived his life for God, and because he had experienced God, he could tell you about what he had experienced. I'm glad I have something I can tell about. I'm thankful I have an experience to be able to share. Times when God has done something in my life. And my friend, I don't believe the experiences are done. But if they are done, I want to say God's been good in every single one of them. And if he's finished with my life and finished with what he wants me to do here, then I want to thank the Lord for every single moment he's given me to live for him. But Joshua's reminder was what the Lord had done for them. And this morning I see how he reminded them of their past. He reminded them of what he had done for them in their past. In verses 2 through 6, he goes all the way back to the beginning. He goes all the way back to where God called Abraham out of the land of Ur of the Chaldees. He calls it on the other side of the flood, that is, on the other side of the Euphrates River. He goes all the way back to the beginning of the nation of Israel. He reminds them that on the other side of the river, their forefathers were idolaters who God called out to be his people. Esau chose the carnal way of life, but God continued to honor Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their seed. And when this world was in famine, God led Jacob and his sons to Egypt, where Joseph would sustain their lives by God's providential hand, and there was corn to feed them. He reminded them of how God led them about, how their way was set aside by the Lord. I want to tell you this morning, the reason why we have been sustained is that God has led us about. God has made our way prosperous. God has fed us when we were hungry, given us water to drink, shelter in the wilderness. The Lord has met our needs. And when this whole world said it would not work, God has made a way when there was not a way. When others were skeptics, God shut the mouth of the skeptics. When others would not believe or trust the Lord, God has vindicated our faith. And I praise the Lord for what he's done for us in the past. And then he reminded them that the past, though it was blessed, was not without problems. In verses 6 through 12, he reminds them of those troubles. He calls their attention to how things in Egypt became harsh, how slavery was so cruel to them, how the government was overbearing. There is a trend that happens in human history, and that's the trend. Government becomes overbearing. It becomes oppressive. It becomes out of control. It must always be throttled back. Our answer is never more government. The governments of man are cruel. They are oppressive. They weigh unto those who exercise power. They are not just rulers who rule over human beings. In this world, such was the case in Egypt. But God sent Moses and Aaron into Egypt with power to bring the people out. And he did so not with an army, and he did so not with a navy or air force or marines or coast guard or a space force. He did so, my friend, with the power of a shepherd with a rod in his hand and the word of God in his lips. And the Lord reached signs and wonders by their hands, and praise God, through the 10 plagues he secured the people of Israel, though the plagues afflicted the Egyptians. And when that 10th plague, the death of the firstborn, came, and they slayed and slayed in the blood, and to shed the blood of the lamb, and posted the blood upon the doorpost of that land, and they sheltered in place in their home as a death angel. My friend, the Lord walked through the land of Egypt that night, and he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And he sheltered over those people, and the cry of death was heard in the land, and the cry of weeping and mamas and daddies was heard through the land, and even the firstborn of the animals and the livestock were slain. But in the little houses of Hebrew slaves, my friend, there was a lamb on the table, and there was peace in their hearts, and there was hope in their homes, and they ate their meals with their shoes on, and their loins girt about, and their staff in their hand, for this was the Lord's Passover. He delivered them that night from
from the land of Egypt. Oh, and by morning, the people of Egypt would be giving them gold and silver and supplies and loading them up and begging them to leave town. Go ahead, get out of here. Here's some money. Here's some food. Here's some livestock. Here's some gold. Here's some silver. And then, my friend, they came to Egypt starving to death, looking for corn. And they spent their time in Egypt as slaves with the crack of the taskmaster's whip. But when God got done without firing a shot, they left Egypt loaded with riches and loaded with blessings and loaded with wealth. Only God can do those kinds of things. Oh, and my friend, they faced that old Red Sea and looked back and saw Pharaoh's armies coming to pin them up in that place and slaughter their children and their grandchildren, the elder and the aged. But God said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And Moses stretched forth his rod, and the waters parted and became congealed, and they walked across on dry land. And if that were not enough, when they stood on the other side of the sea, of the Red Sea, and Pharaoh was saying to do the same through that Red Sea, God, my friend, brought the waters together and drowned the horsemen and the chariots and Pharaoh and all of his soldiers and delivered them. Oh, my friend, he reminded them how that they faced battles, how that they faced battles with the Amorites and the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and they even faced the curse of the false prophets with the Moabites. And in none of these things did they deliver themselves as a powerful nation. But God sent miracle after miracle after miracle to give them victory. He made the walls of Jericho fall down flat. He brought, my friend, victory in their lives. He dried up the Jordan River and brought them across. He put stones in the belly of the river and on the side of the river and in the camp at Gilgal. And Joshua reminded them, it's not been a way free of trouble, but it's also not been a way absent of God. You may have problems, my friend, it seems like stacking up. You may fight devils by the dozens, hell by the hundred. You may face, my friend, troubles by the acre, but I'm telling you, you will not have to face them without God. God will be by your side. He was there with you in all of your troubles. Some of you this morning, I'm preaching about Israel, but you're thinking about your walk. You remember that time when God came through for you and he made a way when there was not a way, when you wondered how there'd be food on the table and yet you didn't go hungry, when you wondered how around the world you'd pay the bill and yet God met the need. You thought, my friend, you'd never be saved, and yet the Holy Ghost drew you under repentance and God heard your prayer and saved your soul and changed your life. You thought there's no way you can stay in the ministry, and yet the Lord sustains you. You thought the church was not going to make it, and yet God gave us his blessings. Well, thank the Lord. You stared death in the face, and the old grim reaper stuck his tongue out at you and said, you're going to lose sure as the world. And God walked behind the curtain of the hospital room and restored your life and the health, and you sit on the pew today with your heart beating and your lungs breathing in and out and with joy in your heart. And the devil said your children's going to hell sure as the world, but you saw the Lord save them, and you can tell him this morning he's a dirty dog liar. I mean, friend, every step of the way he said you'll never have a home of your own, but you got one. He said your automobiles are all going to crash and burn and you'll have no way to go, but you rode to church this morning. He said you will not make it, but yet you're making it. He said 2020 will be the end of it, and here we are at the end of 2020 and we're still here. I tell you, everything the devil's ever told us is a lie, and God has been with us every step of the way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I want to call recess and just shout glory for a little while. I'm telling you, God will meet the need. God will meet the need. Hallelujah. He told them about their problems, and he reminded them of God's provision. In verse number 13, this is what Joshua said. He said, speaking as thus saith the word of the Lord, and I have given you a land for which ye did not labor. Woo! And cities which ye did not build, and did ye dwell in them. Oh, and he said, for the vineyards and the olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. In other words, they were eating his food and drinking his water and enjoying his shelter and breathing his air. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Look at your feet this morning. Those are not your shoes. God, put them on your feet. And I fit the clothes on your back, the automobile you rode in, the food to nourish your belly, the roof over our heads, the invisible ceiling. And that is in this congregation this morning. It's all the Lord's. Oh, can I tell you this morning? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And they that dwell therein, we belong to him this morning. And if we belong to him, he'll look out for us. He'll take care of us. He'll not leave us. He'll not forsake us. And we can put our faith and our trust in the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm saved this morning. Hallelujah. I mean, I'm thankful that I know the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You in the world, why in the world would anybody wonder why God's people would be pleased and happy about this thing? I'm telling you, we know the Lord. We have broken the seal. We have decoded this thing. We've got the Rosetta Stone to decipher the mysteries of life. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Oh, praise God, seen of angels. Oh, praise the Lord, received up in the glory. He is our King. He's coming again. Oh, yes, friend, he's coming again. He didn't stay dead and he won't stay gone. He's coming back. He has met every single need and made a good on every single promise that he's ever made us. He's made a way when there was not a way. And we ought to be reminded of how good God is this morning. Hallelujah. And we ought to rejoice in how good God is. Joshua's reminder. And then secondly, in his sermon, his not only do we see a reminder, but we also see a request. In verse number 14, he says, all right, if all that's true, the last 13 verses, and it is, then this is what I'm going to tell you what I think you ought to do. This is my request. This is the call to action. I tell all the preacher boys when they start preaching that every sermon ought to have a call to action, something that provokes people to act upon the sermon. And men may or may not act on it, but we ought to call for people to act upon what we're preaching about. I'm not up here this morning just to hear myself talk. I am here to try to provoke you to act upon the word of the Lord. And that's what Joshua did. He made a request. Verse number 14, he said, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Joshua's request was threefold. First of all, reverence the Lord. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The same God who has blessed us also has the power to curse. The same God who has the power to give life has the power to kill. The same God who has the power to deliver also has the power to shut down. And we are to fear and honor him. If you're living your life today saying, I don't care what God says. I don't care what God thinks. I don't care about the church. I don't care about the preacher. And I don't care about the Bible. You got an attitude problem. You got a rebellion problem. You got a God problem. And you need to get right with the Lord. Amen. And this morning you need to reverence the Lord. We're living in a day where they ride down the road with a little sticker on the back of the car. Says no fear, no fear. Maybe that's what's the matter with them. They need to learn to fear the Lord. Need to learn to reverence the Lord. Need to learn to respect the Lord. Need to learn to get right with the Lord. Amen. Hey, you ought to fear God. You ought to fear the Lord. He, my friend, has the power to snuff out your life. He has the power to stop your breath. He has the power to shut you down. Oh, my friend, hey, leader, every politician, and my friend that walks in the halls of Congress, at the White House or State House, and my friend of the United Nations, and my friend in Selma Palace, in some foreign nation on here today, and my friend what Herod heard, they said, oh, his voice, his great oratory, his great speaking skills, this is not the voice of a man, this is the voice of a God. And he got lifted up in himself, and God struck him dead, and he was eaten by worms. Oh, my friend, you do not have the promise of tomorrow. Hey, your life can be snuffed out. God gave you your breath and can take it surely away. And we ought to reverence the Lord today. We ought to reverence the Lord. Joshua's request was not only to reverence the Lord, but then to repay the Lord. He said to fear the Lord and to serve Him in sincerity and in truth. This is how we pay our debt to Him. This is how we pay our debt. We will never pay the Lord for what we owe Him. And He does not expect us to repay Him. What He does desire instead is for us to serve Him honestly and sincerely. I mean, what doth the Lord require thee but to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy might. I mean, this is what the Lord requires of us. This is what He expects of us. I'll never pay Him back for what He's done for me. He don't even expect me to pay Him back for what He's done for me. But He does require that I serve Him and love Him with sincerity and with truth. And then not only to repay and to reverence the Lord, but Joshua's request was to respect the Lord. He said, whenever you do these things, put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Repent from the old life. Repent from the way that Abraham and his family lived before the Lord called him down in the land of Ur, where they would beat the drums at those old heathen gods that drowned out the cries of their babies that they offered as sacrifices unto the gods of this old world. And the bulbous fiery arms of those heathen gods in Ur, upon those arms they would lay their babies and sacrifice their children unto the gods of the land of Ur. Oh, and it beat those drums as a fire burned hotter and hotter, drowning out the cries of their babies. And that's the world Abraham lived in. And my friend, we find that his father was an idolater, and possibly Abraham as well. But the Lord reached out in the middle of nothing and pulled Abraham out. The Lord reached out in the land of sin and brought him out. The Lord reached out and spoke to him when he was a heathen, when he didn't know God, when he had not the Holy Ghost. Can anybody relate to what I'm preaching? God spoke to him when he was serving the other gods and said, come out of that land. Come out from those gods. Come out from those ways. He's doing the same now. The reason why any of us are here saved by His grace is because when we serve heathen gods, when we live for self and Satan and sensual lust, and when we live for our selfish desires, God reached out with His Holy Ghost and He called us out of the land where we dwell, and He brought us into a land that He had prepared for us, and He made us different than what we would have ever been of ourselves, and made us new creatures in Christ Jesus. I'm glad Jesus came. Oh, glory to His name. What a friend is He. I'm telling you, He brought us out. And God forbid that now that we've known God, that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Respect the Lord. Repent from the way Abraham and his family lived before God called him. When you do the things you did before you ever got saved, you disrespect the God that saved you. Repent of the slave's alliance with the golden calf. That same bunch that said, these be thy gods which brought you up out of Egypt. That golden calf that they worshiped got naked and danced around it like a bunch of heathens in a wild party of sorts. My friend, a perverse event where that they worshiped God in the golden calf. And it was not the God of heaven. They may have said it was, but it was not. And the Lord would not receive their heathen worship. Turn from that. My friend, turn from the old way. place where, my friend, you used to run with the crowd of this old world and do the worldly things. Learn from the way the world's music is and their manners are and their motives are, and turn into the Lord. That's the reason why we can't sing the world songs in this place. In this place that belong to the world, and we don't belong to the world. Are you listening to me this morning? We can't sing like they sing. We can't live like they live. We won't go the places they go. Our lives are different, and we're changed, and we're new in Jesus. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, we ought to respect the Lord. When we bring the world into the church and we make this place worldly, we disrespect the God of heaven that brought us out of Ur of the Chaldees, that brought us out of Egypt, that brought us out of calf worship, that brought us out of idolatry, that brought us out of a place where we turn from idols to serve the living God. Hey, friend, when we bring worldly music, when we bring lewdness, when we bring nakedness, when we bring jealousy, when we bring strife, and I feel we bring meanness and bitterness into this place, and I feel we disrespect the God of heaven that brought us out of this world unto Himself, and we all respect God in His house and serve Him. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Furthermore, not only when you bring it into this house, but when you bring it into this house. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. When you pour liquor down the throat that God, of the man that God saved, you disrespect the God that brought you out of the honky-tonks and the liquor joints and the package stores and brought you into the church house and saved your soul. Amen. Oh, that's exactly right. When you go places with your feet that you ought not to go, you take the same feet Jesus brought out of this whole world and march into places that disrespect God. When you use your hands to touch and handle the things that are not pleasing to the Lord, and to work the works that are not pleasing to God, you use the hands that Jesus saved, and with the nail-scarred hands of Christ, and you use them for idolatry and for wickedness. When you view and you stare at and you dwell on the things that are not pleasing to God, you use eyes that are set aside for the purpose of God. When He brought you out of the Ur of the land and the Chaldees, brought you out of idolatry and brought you into the family of God, the mind upon which you use can dwell upon wickedness and sin and carnality. You've been brought out. Use that to think on good things. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. How would you do otherwise? You disrespect the God of heaven.
Amen.
Is anybody listening to the preaching?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Joshua's reminder, Joshua's request, number 3 this morning. Joshua's reasoning, verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Get with it. If it's not right to serve the Lord, tell me just exactly who it is right to serve. If living right ain't right, then what is right? I mean, if the Lord is not the God, then who is the God? Is there a God? By the way, it's stupid. And I know Sister Ginger don't like that word, Brother John, but I'm still using it this morning. She loves me more than she does you. She'll put up with me saying stuff like that, but she'd get your goat for it. It's silly. It's ludicrous. It is the height of ludicrosity in our day that people will try to recognize God and skip Jesus, or recognize God and leave Him generic. Well, which God are you talking about? Well, whichever one you serve. Well, the problem is they're at enmity. You can't serve but one. One God is all that can be God. And He either is God or He is not God. And if He's not God, then He's not your God. And no use you trying to recognize God while leaving Him out at the same time. This morning, I don't ever praise be unto the gods of this old world. Oh, hey. I mean, stuff like that makes my stomach turn. Makes me sick. I'm so tired of celebrities. I'm so tired of country singers. I'm so tired of musical artists. Have my friend recognizing God, leaving Jesus out, hoping nobody knows which God they're talking about, and making sure they cross all the boxes. Well, I don't ever call the names of the other gods, but listen to me this morning. I must, for sake of what I'm preaching here today, I never will you hear cross my lips, thank God. And in the back of my mind, me think, well, it might be Allah, it might be Buddha, it might be Muhammad, it might be Hare Krishna, or it might be Sindhu. I'm telling you, it is not. And when I say thank God, I'm talking about the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who sent the blessed Holy Spirit. He's the God of the church. He's the God of the Bible. He's the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. He's the God of our forefathers. He's the God, whether you want to have it or not, of the American Constitution, of my family, and of our Declaration of Independence, which declares that we are endowed by our Creator. They were not talking about Buddha, our Creator, with inalienable rights and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They were talking about the God of the Bible, the God of the church, the God, the Father of Jesus Christ, the God that sent the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise God. He's the God of our fathers, and He's the God of me. He's the God of my life, and He's the only real God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Time that you need to get some things settled in your mind.
Amen.
If every religion's just as good as another one, ain't none of them any good. If any old way will do, nothing at all will do just as well. You say that's narrow-minded. I look like you'd be more accepting. Look like you'd be more receiving. Look like you'd be more tolerant than that. Oh, I'm tolerant of a lot of stuff. Tolerant of everything. But just because I tolerate it don't mean I'm going to embrace it. Just because I tolerate it doesn't mean I'm going to endorse it. And that's what the world really wants. They want you to endorse their gods. If it seemed evil to you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom you will serve.
Yeah.
And my friend, hey, decide who God really is. Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
What are the gods that your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood? Gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. This morning, there's a reason. Either God's God or He's not.
That's right.
You're either serving Him or you're not. And you are saved or you're not. And you're on your way to heaven or you're not. Amen, friend. And this is either a Bible church or it's not. And it's either a God-fearing church or it's not. And Jesus is either Savior or He's not. And somebody said, oh, that's narrow. Just as narrow as the Bible. Just as narrow as Jesus. Just as narrow as salvation. Just as narrow as John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It is either true or it's not. Amen. This morning, the reasoning of Joshua is, it's time for you to pick one. Pick sides. Pick it out. Decide for yourself. Choose. Serving the Lord is more than a choice, but it is a choice. You'll never be a servant of the Lord until you choose to do so. It's time to choose. It's time to pick one. It's time to personally pick one. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Nobody else can decide for you. It is personal. You must choose. Choose punctually. Pick one, personally pick one, punctually pick one. Choose you this day. Today is the day to make the choice. Proverbs 27:1 said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I have stood by grave after grave after grave after grave in the last few weeks, as 7 times in about 3 weeks. I'm telling you, friend, listen, that there is no guarantee for you or for me that we'll have another heartbeat, that we'll have another sunrise, that we'll have another day. Today is the day to get things right with God. Today is is a day to choose the Lord. Today is a day to get saved. Today is a day to repent of your sin. Joshua's reasoning. Then Joshua's response. He didn't just preach to everybody else. Say, you got to do something. But he says, as for me and my house, verse 15 into the verse, we will serve the Lord. I know some of you hadn't made your mind up yet. Some of you are still siphoning with Jethro Bodine. Some of you are still trying to figure things out. Some of you are still waiting till you can put God in your box. A friend of mine here recently that Brother John and I both have known for years told me, he said, I really respect you and what you're doing, and I respect your church and I respect your preaching, and I believe you're on the right track. But he said, I just can't get it all figured out. I got it figured out, and you haven't got it figured out, and you're not going to figure it out, because he's God. If you could figure him out, he wouldn't be God. You would. If you had him figured out instead of him having you figured out, y'all would switch roles. But he's God. You're not supposed to figure him out. You're supposed to faith your way through. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. You're not going to figure God out this morning. Some of you are still suffering, still deciding, still figuring, still weighing all your options. But I'm telling you, the clock of life is ticking, and moment by moment the opportunities are passing. I'm afraid that one of these days your time is going to strike a chord of the clock of life, and it's all going to be over. Over, you better choose this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, the decision's been made. As for me, the die is cast. As for me, the decision has been made. As for me, the course has been set. As for me, I've cast my lot into God. I've cast my lot into the Lord. We're going to serve God. And God forbid that we should turn aside and serve any other besides him. Joshua's response. You sit in the pew this morning and said, I think it's too plain. You wouldn't like Joshua any better than what you would have liked me.
That's right.
Joshua gave no lofty speech. It was plainly spoken. He gave no lofty speech of elevated language that was difficult to understand in his time, or that would lead us to confusion in the years to come. Here we are close to 3,500 years later, and the words of Joshua ring clear today. Serving God is not a murky, muddy, uncertain gray area. It is plain and clear. He leads us in plain path.
Amen.
His response was plainly spoken. It was powerfully spoken. It seems that the only tact Joshua knew was contact. That's my kind of preacher.
Amen.
I moved to the funeral the other day with one of my favorite people, Brother Wendell Furr. And he told me, he said, you know what, Brother Toby? He said, I don't like boring preaching. Amen. I don't like boring preaching. He said, I need somebody to challenge me. I need somebody to provoke me. I need somebody to call me out. I need somebody to point out my sin. I need somebody to preach that Bible. I need somebody to tell me about Jesus. And he said, I want somebody to be excited about it.
Amen.
Oh, praise God. That Joshua's response was plainly and powerfully spoken. He knew contact. He called the people out. He says, is it evil to serve the Lord? If so, decide what you will do. You think you know everything? Go ahead and do something. Don't sit in the valley of decision. Don't whittle wall on the axle. I'm not fit to elaborate on a pole of isolation. Make up your mind. Get busy and do something. I mean, serve the Lord.
Amen.
Don't live in hypocrisy. Don't be double-minded. Right. Don't put on a face for somebody else. But choose you this day whom you will serve. And for me, the choice is made.
Amen.
His response was powerfully spoken. His response was profoundly spoken. It is though Joshua declares, my choice has been made. Fact is that Joshua didn't decide to serve God on this day. He made his choice many years before.
Yes.
Joshua didn't wait until the Lord gave him the land of Canaan and then decide, I'm going to serve the Lord. Joshua didn't wait until God fed him for 40 years in the wilderness to decide then that he would serve the Lord. Joshua didn't decide until he gave him victory in the battle. He didn't decide until he said, I've been waiting for the Jericho walls fell to decide. He didn't wait until the Red Sea was parted to decide. He didn't wait until the 10 plagues of Egypt were done to decide. As a barefooted slave with the crack of the taskmaster's whip in his ear, before they ever left Egypt, Joshua cast his die and his lot in with the Lord. The die had been cast. His course had been settled. He was going to follow after the Lord. And because he chose the Lord, he was saved from the plagues. Because he chose the Lord, he could walk across on dry land and river. Because he chose the Lord, he followed the servant of God Moses up the mountain and seen the glory of God. Because he chose the Lord, while 40 years went by the grave after grave, Joshua lived on. Because he chose the Lord, he saw the Jericho walls fall. He saw the Jordan River part. He saw the Canaanites destroyed. However, he stands on this day. He's not saying, I finally decided to serve God, but he's saying, I decided to serve God a long time ago, and I don't regret a mile that I traveled for the Lord.
Everybody listen to preaching.
Yes.
Profoundly spoken. If nobody else goes, if we have to go against the grain, if no matter what the direction of public opinion is, we're going to serve the Lord. This is leadership, and his words were profoundly spoken. I'm finishing with this. I must stop this morning. Joshua's people's reaction. This is where you come in this morning. I've mostly been preaching to me for now. I probably need a lot more preaching than what I just did. I probably need it. But this is where you come in. Verse 16. The people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods.
Amen.
There is a collective reaction. The people answered. He had called the people together, checked them in verse 1, and all the elders and people came together in verse 2. And he spoke to them, and he poured out his heart to them, and he called on them for a decision. And it appears that they listened and took his message to heart. A preacher often wonders, is anybody listening? If they're like me, they sometimes even ask if anybody's listening. They sometimes wonder, is anybody paying attention to the message? Does anybody care about the sermon? Is anyone provoked to action by the burden that God has placed on our hearts? Well, Joshua saw right away that the people did hear and were ready to respond to the preaching. A collective reaction, and then there was a committed reaction.
Hey.
God forbid that we should forsake the Lord. We're going to go with God. Brother Wayne Henderson went to heaven this week, and at the funeral yesterday, I sat in front of his lifelong friend, Brother Charles Henderson. They're not related. And Brother Charles Henderson's up in his mid-80s. That was over 60 years on the mission field at the Mexico, one of the finest missionaries I've ever known in my life. He weighs about 100 pounds, maybe, if he's got a heavy suit on. And he has, my friend, at this point in his life, has still a head full of black hair and strokes it back on his head, you know, and had a little bitty tiny fingers and skinny off the arm. And he's a sight and always got a story to tell about what God's done for him. And he has. And my friend, he has false teeth, and he's got uppers in, and he don't like wearing lowers. He said they make too much slappy. And so he sat behind me yesterday or the day before yesterday at the funeral, and he would sing through those false teeth and whistle his S's while he sang. And he's on the way up in years. And I don't know how many miles he's got left or how much tread remains on the tire, though he's a spry 86-year-old right now. And he sat behind me while they my friend talked about his dear friend whose body lay in that casket up in front of us. He sang in my ear behind me over and over again. I think I'll just go with God. I think I'll just go with God. Well, look at that, Miley. I don't see a lot. With him there is joy and blessings are told. I think I'll just go with God. I'm telling you, a committed reaction takes place when the minister stood to speak and he began to sing. And as I was preparing for this message, I thought to you today, it is a choice you need to make. And you need to make it today a commitment to go with God.
Yes,
serve the Lord.
Yes, sir.
And then there is a continual reaction. Not only does it say, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord, but they said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. There will be competition. There will be forks in the road. Opportunism to get off of course. Changes to get sideways of your God.
Yes, sir, bro.
Deuteronomy 5:32, you shall observe to do that the Lord your God commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Proverbs 4:25, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Part of the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left, and remove thy foot from evil. These many years, God has blessed us as we have tried to serve him. He has blessed us every single step of the way. Without exception and without fail. God forbid that we should leave the Lord to serve other gods. I'm going to call for a word of prayer here in just a moment. And finish preaching and come on with a song. Not only going to call for a word of prayer, those may need to be saved, those may need to get right with God, those may need to pour your heart out to the Lord. Saints, sinner, life, anybody needs to pray. We've got something else I want to tell you while they come. I've written down a simple commitment in the back of my worn out Bible, and it's just about gone. I'm about to retire this one. This was fixing to be retired. And I'm committing to the Lord that I'm going to wear out, if he'll let me live long enough, I'm going to wear out two more. And I'm going to leave one to every one of my girls. With all my scribbles and my notes. And the dates of where I preached here and there. Little outlines and corners of the Bible. Cross references that I made. Pages upon page. And this one. But in the back of it, I've written something down when I retire this Bible. A simple commitment in the back of this worn-out Bible for those who would like to participate. I want to call for you to come and sign your name. And let's pray for one another. I'm not looking for you to make some sort of commitment that's not in Jesus or in God. Just listen to what I wrote down. On our 24th anniversary service, December the 20th. 2020. Today, many days before as well, maybe never before. Today, I commit to the best of my ability to serve God for the rest of my life. Pray for me that I may always be true to this commitment. And this Bible is going to get retired. It can be retired with your name in it. If you want to join in with that commitment. Brother TJ, I want you to look and see. I want you to look and see whose name was the first to sign. My name is first to sign. Today, I commit to the best of my ability to serve God for the rest of my life. Pray for me that I'd always be true to this commitment. We're going to have a call for prayer. Some of you need to pray. Some of you need to come sign this worn out Bible. This simple commitment. And let's pray one with and for each other. Everybody stand.
I started on a journey many years ago, searching for rest and peace for my soul. I found it at Calvary, and truly I say, it satisfied then and gets sweeter each day. So I think I'll just go with God, for looking back my way, I don't see a love in Him.
Of the mercies
pray for me
of
that I keep this commitment.
Amen.
but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you that. I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt his arms around me as I faced my greatest fears. I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt, as his grace falls down upon me undeserved. God's been good in my as the world.